Hi, I'm Gilbert. I'm one of the pastors at Victory, and I'm the president of Every Nation Philippines. We're committed to plant churches, reach campuses, and bring the gospel to the nations. I hope this message inspires you to honor God and make disciples.
Today, we're starting a new series called Together. Can we all stand as we read the Word of God this afternoon? By the way, to share with you, marami hong mga churches natin nagse-celebrate ng mga anniversary. I don't know why at this time, no? Somehow, nag-plant tayo ng mga churches all almost at the same time. So last Sunday, I was in Victory, Baguio, because they are celebrating our 35th year anniversary in Baguio. So I think next week there's another church that's celebrating another anniversary. Then the next week, another anniversary. But God has been good and God is good. So Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for your church. We thank you, Lord God, that your church is not just a gathering of people so we can say we gathered, not just a religious gathering, but Lord, actually, Lord, your church is many things, Lord. It's a family, it's a community, it's your instrument, it's your hand, it's your foot, it's your mouth. Lord, you have so much that you'd like to do, so much that you're doing in the church, which means you're doing something in our lives. And Lord, as we gather together, we again declare, finish the work you've begun in our lives, that we, your people, might be who you want us to be, that we might be instruments of your grace, especially to a world that's desperate and that doesn't know you, that's overwhelmed with different things that's happening around us. And yet you provided the greatest message, the greatest blessing any one of us can ever experience. So use us, your church, to be dispensers of your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. You may take your seat. So we'll be talking about the church in the next 2 weeks, ata, no? Medyo biased ako. Obviously, I think you know why. I work with the church. I work for the church. And I've been ministering in the church and serving in the church for the last 32 years. So medyo biased talaga yung opinions ko when it comes to the church. But I also want to say this. And the reason I stayed this long in the church is because I want to tell you this. All the greatest blessings in my life happened through the church. My family was saved and turned around because of the church. If not for the church, I don't know where my family would be today. It would have been a big mess if my parents did not encounter God through the church. I found purpose and destiny in the church. I grew up not knowing what I'm supposed to do. Alam mo yung, nung nag-apply ako for college, tinanong ko lang yung kaibigan ko, best friend ko, ano ba kukunin mo? Ah, ganyan? Oh, sige, yan na yung nilagay ko. So I went to college and wondering, I'm sitting down there the first few weeks in school thinking, ba't ko ginagawa to? Because I had, in a sense, didn't know where I was going. But I found real purpose and destiny in the church. Some of my greatest friends and real friends are all in the church. Even in the midst of the greatest trials my family is facing, those who stand with me are friends and people from the church. I met my wife in the church. And I'm very grateful for that. I learned to be a husband in the church. Alam niyo ba, wala hong eskwelahan para walang degree how to be a good husband. And many of us who get married just get shocked that we don't know anything. Akala natin, alam natin lahat. I thought I was a very loving person until I got married. I learned to be a father in the church. Now, I'm not perfect, but I learned how to be a father in the church. If not for the church, I would have never been a good father. Because all I thought being a father and being a husband was to provide for your family. And that's the world, that's how the world sees it, that their life is a total mess, but they feel so proud because they provided financially, exceptionally to their family. But I learned how to be a father in the church. Everything, so much of what I know, so much of who I am, and so much of what I enjoy today, all went through the church. And I do hope that all of us here discover the blessing that God has for each one of us in the church, through the church, and with the church. Because as I said, the church, and as I prayed, the church is not just a gathering of people. Something, God wants to do something in our hearts. And I hope in the next 2 weeks, we get to see more. And obviously, we can't talk about everything that's important about the church for 2 Sundays and hit everything. But I do hope we get so encouraged that we actually pray and ask God, show me more. Because God has so much that He wants to do in the church. Do you realize that when God wants to do something in the world, He always looks at His people? So many times, as people of God, we're trying to look for solutions and who can solve our problems outside, when God is looking at the church and saying, you want solutions to the problems of the world. I'm about to do something through you. Are you willing to do it? The church is God's instrument. We'll talk about more about that later. But interestingly, as amazing as the church is, so much in history and so much of the history of the church has been attempts to destroy it. Do you realize that? That so much of the freedoms that we enjoy now, the freedom to read the Bible, the freedom to worship God, is something we enjoy because hundreds, if not thousands of years ago, people laid down their lives so we can have this freedom. There have been major attempts to destroy the church. Yet the church keeps expanding today, and the church keeps growing, and the church is spreading. So as we look at Go back to our text. I want us to look at a few things that I believe was very, in a sense, foundational to the church that allowed it to grow despite the challenges it faced in history and despite its challenges that it faces today. Because friends, minsan or madalas sa atin, ang problema natin sa pagpunta sa simbahan, minsan traffic, minsan pagod, minsan naubusan ng panahon. Pero sa kabilang dako ng mundo, ang problema nila, baka patayin na sila pag nag-church sila. Nagtatago sila, hindi sila makaka-worship. Their life is always on the line every time they go to church. Yet they worship God. Never forget a friend of mine who ministered in a restricted country. And they were going to a service. And to keep the service location safe, I've never heard anything. Akala ko parang habang nagkukwento, parang scene. He gets brought into a building. They go up in the top floor. Then from the top floor, they cross to another building. And they cross to another building. Then they go all the way down in the building. They walk out in the street. Then they go to another building. I'm thinking, nakakatakot ba? Sa taas, tatawid ka, kita. What was so crucial in the church's life that kept it going? What is so crucial for us that it gets established in our life so we can keep going and see what God has in store for you? Obviously, this is not an exhaustive list, but I'd like us to look at a few things. And the first one is the Word of God. The Word of God. Verse 42, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. The Bible here says they devoted themselves. To be devoted means to attend constantly, to persist, to persevere, to continue steadfastly, to wait upon, to constantly be focused and hooked into something, the apostles' teaching. See, during those times, they didn't have Bibles like we do. I thank God it's so easy to get the Bible. Kahit makalimutan mo yung Bible mo, somehow, pag connected ka, mahanap ka ng Bible. But during these times, it wasn't available. So they had to go to the gathering to get the chance to hear the word. Do you know that the way the Bible is written, one of the goals of the Bible is to be read aloud and to be heard? Because that's how it was done in the past. So they had to go to a gathering to be able to listen to the word. I hear stories of Christians in restricted nations where they only have one or two pages of the whole Bible. And in a community, there might be one Bible, tapos nagpapalitan sila ng pages. O ikaw muna dito, isang linggo, babasahin mo. Hindi mo alam kung ang ipakapalit mo next week, kung kadugtong yun ang binabasa mo, or it's in some other place in the Word of God. Yet, they still read the Word of God, and the Word of God still changes them. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, the Word of God. I don't want to put a guilt trip on anyone, but think with me for a while here. You know, many times in our world today, when we're asked to do something that does not financially reciprocate what we're about to do, we put that in our free time. Hello? Kasi ang important time, yun yung may reciprocate, may reciprocal benefit than none. Now again, I don't want to put a guilt trip on anyone, but I want to ask this question. How important is the Word of God to you? How crucial is the Word of God to your life? I hear this all the time. No. Change. Not all the time. But I hear it a lot. Pastor, sobrang busy ko eh. Wala akong panahon. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. See, we grew up in this religious culture that tells us, or that teaches us, that when we do things for God, it's a favor to God. But do you realize that going to church and reading your Bible is not a favor to God, it's a favor to you? God doesn't need to read the Bible. Hello? You think God's up there habang nagbabasa ka? Oh, tingnan mo binabasa niya. Oh, grabe! Ganda ng revelation. See, reading the Bible is not for God's benefit. It's really for you. See, what will you do when the time comes that all you have is the Word of God? The question is, will you have the confidence and the faith to stand on the Word when everything around you says, no way? What when you finally meet the doctor and says, the doctor says, there's no cure, and all you have is the Word of God that says, by the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. Will you have the faith? Will you have the confidence and say, yes, Lord, that's your word? It doesn't matter what the doctor says. What matters is what the Word of God says. Now, please, I'm not saying forget the doctors. But what I'm saying is, what if you face the impossible and there's no other way but the Word of God? They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings, the Word of God. Question is, what does the Word of God say? This question has helped me and my family for so many years. Every major decision we have to make, every important decisions we have to make, we ask the question, what does the Word of God say? And you know what? We live in a world where there's so many opinions, so many experts, so many advice, so many horror stories, and sometimes it gets overwhelmed with all this information. But friends, we can stop and say, Lord, pabayaan mo lahat yun, Lord God. Anong sinasabi ng Word mo? You know, one of the saddest things to find in life is to find a believer that does not know what to believe because they don't know what the Word of God says. Let me ask you this question. What does the Word of God say about your situation today? Do you know what the Word of God says? I also realize this, and I hope you think about this, that our world is so enamored with facts. It's so easy to get facts. Just a click away, you get facts. The problem is this. We equate facts with truth. And I found out that facts are not necessarily the truth. In fact, some of the facts you live with and we face today is because we refuse to obey the truth. Hello? But the Word of God is forever the truth, no matter what the facts are. No matter what the facts are. The Word of God is forever the truth. Remember Noah? God shows up and tells him, build an ark. I'm going to send a flood. It's going to rain. By the way, at that point in history, there was still no rain. Noah had no internet to... Rain? Ano yung rain? Search nothing. He was living up... He was in the wilderness. I think he was up in the mountains thinking flood. Could you imagine what that flood looks like? I live in a place where it's high. Not just the building, because mid-rise lang laman yung condo namin. But the lowest part of our building is the highest part of one of the valleys. So people ask me, binabaha kayo? Sabi ko, hindi, kasi pagbaha kami, wala na, lubog na talaga lahat. So Noah is here being... building an ark. And if you didn't realize, from the time God told Noah to start building the ark to the time God speaks to him again and says it's time to go in, it's 100 years. 100 years. The facts was crazy, but the truth was clear. Build the ark. What truth is clear to you today? Remember Peter who went fishing. Remember that? They fished all night. Jesus shows up and Jesus says, let down the nets on the right side of the boat. You ever wondered why? So many questions, so many facts that don't line up. One, Peter is the fisherman, not Jesus. At best, Jesus was a carpenter. Can you find a carpenter telling the fisherman when to fish? The fisherman just fished all night. He knows the time. He knows the place. He knows the season. He knows the technique. Then here comes this carpenter and tells him, tapos na? Hindi. Labas pa kayo. Ihulog nyo yung lambat nyo sa kanan. Right side, left side. Does it make any difference? Think about it. Siguro it will make a difference kung isang kilometro yung lapad ng barko mo. Pero kung yung barko mo ganito lang kalapad, it doesn't make a difference left side, right side. Basta sinabi ni Lord, right side. And what did Peter say? Peter said this, Master, we've worked hard all night and have not caught anything. Then he says this, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. The word of God. The facts was crazy. The facts did not add up. But the truth was clear. The word of God. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They listened to the word. The early church gathered to hear the word, to hear the preaching and teaching the word. Throughout history, the word of God is the power of God to them who believe. It's already a struggle to believe when it doesn't add up. It's impossible to believe when you don't know. Hello? So let me encourage you, read your Bible. Because a day will come that will be the only truth that's available for you. The Word of God is not just truth, not just wisdom, but the Word of God has inherent power. It's the only thing we read, we can read aloud, listen to, that has power on its own. Hello? You get the best coats in the world, and it's just another coat. You get all the best principles in the word, in the world, and it's just another principle. But when you read the word of God and it comes out of your mouth, it's the Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword. When sickness and disease hits you and the word of God comes out of your mouth, no way, by the stripes of Jesus, I am healed. The word of God. They devoted themselves. We encourage all of us again to read, meditate, and pray the word of God. We gather together to listen, to worship God through the word. Secondly, calling of God, verse 44. and all who believed were together and had all things in common. They were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. There was a lot of needs during their time. And what a blessing to see the church responding to the need and being a channel to those who need. Those who had need were blessed, but to those who gave were even more blessed because they got the chance to do God's will and fulfill their calling. Do you know that you are called by God to be generous? That generosity is not for a chosen few, it's for everyone. The great thing about generosity is this, it's not equal amount. It's equal heart. It's equal willingness. It's equal circumstance. The circumstance of lesser can be just as wildly generous as somebody who is circumstantially above and beyond what we could ask or imagine. But it's a calling and a gift. Generous hearts, that is the blessing of God, that is the calling of God, and that is the promise of God. See, the church is supposed to be an instrument of God. Genesis chapter 12, remember this? Now the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to a land that I will show you. I'll make you into a great nation. And what does he say? I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. How many of us are here are children of Abraham? Heirs of Abraham. You are destined and called to be a blessing. Not just blessed. You are not called to be a display of God's goodness. You are called to be a channel of His grace. Ang prayer sana natin ganito, na hindi lang makita ng tao, kita nyo, nagsiserve ako kay Lord, bless the bless ako. Pero sana ang reaction ng tao sa atin, yan mga yan, blessing talaga mga yan. Hello? Bakit? Kasi ang blessing ni Lord na pumunta sa atin, dumaan yung iba, hindi na iwan sa atin. Think about this. God has given you the privilege and the honor to be the link to someone's miracle. What an honor and a privilege. Somebody said, when you pray, when you intercede for people, what you're doing is you're connecting God to a person. So let's say, ikaw, nagpe-pray ka, pinagpe-pray mo yung kaibigan mo, pinagpe-pray mo kay Lord. What are you doing? You're connecting God and the person. Hinawakan mo yung tao na pinagpipray mo. Hinawakan mo si Lord. That's what happens when you allow God's grace and generosity to flow through you. Itong tao to, Lord, sumisigaw kay Lord. Lord, tulong. Lord, I need help. Ito si Lord, nakakikinig. Oh, kailangan ng tulong ng anak ko. Sino magagamit mo? Sino magagamit ko? And you're up there, Lord, use me, use me. And the power of God flows through you and touches the other person. Boom! The miracle happens. You have become the missing link to someone's miracle. Now tell me if that's not out of this world kind of story. Wow! What an honor! What a privilege that God has given us. Let me encourage you to start praying, not just to be blessed, but Lord, make me a blessing. Make me a blessing. Not just to pray, Lord, sana kumita ako ng ganito. But to add to your prayer, sana Lord, makabigay ako ng ganito. God has called us to be his instrument. Generosity is powerful. It's life-changing. When you act generously, you live out generosity, you are fulfilling God's call in your life. Acts 20:35, the Apostle Paul is saying this, "In all things I have shown you that by working hard in this way we must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, how he himself said it is more blessed to give than to receive." Even the Apostle Paul, in the midst of his great needs, was looking for an opportunity to be a blessing. To be a blessing. Remember the Macedonian church? "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia, for in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in the wealth of generosity on their part." Look at this. "For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means on their own accord." Look at this. "Begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints." Sila mismo in extreme poverty saying, "Sali nyo naman kami dyan. Please, give us an opportunity. Alam namin, maliit lang ito pwede namin mabigay. Pero wag nyo naman kami itsapwera. Sali mo kami dyan." Let me ask this question. No one can raise of hands. This is between you and God. When was the last time you were desperate to be generous? Whoa. Time to think. Time to pray. I'm not telling you to do something now. It's asking you to pray. Lord, use me. Use me. Generosity is also worshiping God. We don't have time to go through this, but let me just mention this for you to think about. The tithe is 10%, but tithing is worship. The church is instruments of God. Secondly, the church are servants of God. The hands of God in a world that does not know him. "Have this in mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in likeness of men." Jesus took the form of a servant. He came not to serve, but to be served. Now, I'm going to say something. This can be controversial. So please, I hope I don't get misunderstood. I'm not asking for a response. Just a chance for you guys to think about this. We are not called to be volunteers. We're called to be servants. The reason we volunteer is because it's the only way we can become who God called us to be, which is to be servants. Hello? Kasi pag volunteerism, may ano expectation na nag-volunteer ako eh. I realized, and please don't get me wrong, because I've been a volunteer many years also before I jumped into the ministry. I realize that when I serve, I get the opportunity to be who God called me to be. Nobody owes me anything. I am grateful for the opportunity. Hello? We are called to be servants of God. And please, thank you for all of you that serve. May God bless you, honor your faith, and let his grace be abundant in your life. But we're called to be servants. Think about this. Jesus, the King of Kings. What do you call this? His name is Jesus. His title is Lord of Lords, King of Kings, Eternal God, Messiah. But his chosen role is servant. The form he takes or he took is servant. Whoa, wow. What an amazing thing. I get the opportunity to fulfill who God called me to be. I get the opportunity to take the same form that Jesus took. And I get the opportunity to lay down my life for Him. Interesting thing about servanthood and serving, you have to be present. You have to show up. Hindi ka pwede mag-servant na absent. Kaya kahit sa trabaho, kahit may sweldo, hindi ka na nga servant kasi sinusweldohan ka. Pag absent ka, walang sweldo, di ba? Because to serve, you have to show up. Why is it important for us to gather? Because that's the only way we can serve one another. Lastly, the community of God. Verse 46, and day by day, attending the temple, together breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Highlight, God added to them and added to them. God added added them, and He added to them. Do you realize that it's important to God that He adds you to others and that others are added to you? You were never meant to do life alone. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Now, I read that because I want to say this. Do you realize that most of these fruits of the Holy Spirit do not become reality unless you're with others? Hello? You don't have to. I'm the kindest person until somebody is added to me. Hello? I'm peaceful. Nung wala ka, wala akong problema, dumating ka lang, nagka-problema na ako. Hello? Now you add to that humility. Do you know, humility is not an issue if you're alone. I'm humble. Sa sarili ko. My book, I'm about to release a book. The title of the book is Humility, How I Became That Way. Simple. Live alone. Don't talk to anyone. Faithfulness. Do you know that faithfulness is not an issue when you're alone? You know, I thank God for the Western perspective that shows us that there's a personal side to this. But I hope we don't forget the Oriental side, because Jesus was from, that all of this happened in the East more than it did in the West. So a lot of this carries the context of the East, which is communal like us more than personal without anybody else. You know, this thing that my relationship God is personal, you have nothing to do with it. No, that's not true. That's not what the Bible says. Now, ang kailangan sa church, may pakialam. Hindi pakialamero, iba yun. In other words, we care for one another, but we don't bother each other. Do you know nobody is greedy when they're alone? Greed, greed is revealed when somebody is with you. Hello. Sometimes, you know, I don't know if you pray the prayer like this, because I did. Lord, Lord, hingi ako sana hindi lang wrong motive. Sana hindi greed, sana. Madali lang yun eh. Sama kasi iba, malalaman mo kung greedy o hindi. The phrase one another occurs 100 times in the New Testament. 59 of those occurrences are specific commands teaching us how and how not to relate to one another. But John chapter 3 verse 35 will never be a reality without the one another. What does he say? By this all people know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Nobody will look at you and say, wow, you have amazing love. Dahil ikaw lang mag-isa. But it is in your service to others that people say, man, you really love these people. That's when they see it. God wants to add you and add them to you. God does not and never intended for you to be alone. You don't have to do life alone. As I close, the church has the power of God, but the church is also the power of God in a world filled with brokenness. It's our prayer that as a church, we be a blessing to each other and we become a blessing to those who are not here. I'll end with this. I learned this many years ago and it stuck with me. I read it in a book. I think Bill Hybels was the one who said it. He said, do you know that the church is the only organization in the world that exists for those who are not part of it? All the organizations in the world exist for their members. It is the church, only the church, that exists for people who don't like to be part of it. Exists for people who probably hate it and wants to get rid of the church. The church is the power of God to them that believe. But it's also the power of God to them that reach out to others.
Thank you for joining us. You can visit victory.org.ph to find a church, join a Victory group, and give online. Thank you for partnering with us, discipling the city, the nation, and the world through your generosity. For more messages like this, you can subscribe to this podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts.